It's great to see everyone here today. I can remember about 20, maybe 22 years ago, I spoke on the book of Genesis. And afterwards, I said to Kathy, I hope they invite us back because it was such a nice church. And sure enough, you invited us back, and we're most grateful. We love coming here. It's always a blessing every single Sunday. And I started in Genesis, and now we're doing Philemon, 9 books to go, Lord willing. And I'd like to begin with something that I hope will make you smile. And I want to thank my inspiration is Dana here. He's given me a lot of these church signs over the years, and I hope this will be a blessing to you as well. Church signs 2022. Number one, church parking only. Violators will be baptized. Two, life is change. Growth is optional. Choose wisely. Three, when gratitude becomes your default setting, life changes. Four, when you throw mud on someone, you always lose ground. Five, store your Bible in your heart, not on the shelf. Six, do you spend your time with God's book or with Facebook? Seven, tweet others as you wish to be tweeted. Eight, come in and let us prepare you for your finals. Nine, God is like oxygen. You can't see him, but you can't live without him. And finally, God loves you whether you like it or not. I hope that made you smile. The title of the morning's message is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful word. I'm so happy when I'm forgiven. I worked in state government for many years. Guess what? A lot of things went on in state government. I made a lot of mistakes. But if I said I was sorry, most of the time, they forgave me. I remember one case, they said, I'll never forgive you for that. Well, after a few years, I did wear the guy down. Now he's a good friend. But sometimes things are very difficult in state government. But forgiveness is a beautiful word because we all need to be forgiven. We've all made mistakes. Things come back upon us that we did even in childhood. Oh, we shouldn't have done that to that poor kid. But God forgives. Isn't that great to know? The title is Forgiveness, and it's taken from the book of Philemon. The key text is Philemon 15 and 16a. Perhaps the reason he was separated you from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. No longer a slave, but better than a slave as a dear brother. The key word here is forgiveness. The author of this wonderful book is the Apostle Paul, and the theme is the outworking of Christianity. And this book was written around 60 AD. The main message is the brotherhood of all believers. It was written to Philemon, a well-to-do citizen in Colossae who was a believer. The story goes like this. Onesimus was a slave, and he ran away from his master, Philemon. He ran away from him. He didn't just run away. He stole from him as well. Not a good situation. But he ran away. He ran all the way to Rome, where he met Paul, who was in prison for his faith. And there, he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior, and his life totally changed. He became a great help to Paul. But eventually, Paul felt that Onesimus needed to go back to Philemon and ask for forgiveness. Not now as a slave, but as a dearly loved brother. And eventually, Philemon did just that. And I'm sure, based on what I read in the scriptures, that Philemon welcomed Onesimus home as a dearly loved brother. Onesimus' name means profitable, but he has been unprofitable to Philemon. Now he returns to Philemon as a brother and fellow worker whose work will now be profitable and useful. Has anyone ever listened to Adventures in Odyssey? It's kind of a fun radio series that Focus on the Family puts out. You can get it on CD. It's also available in streaming. And my grandkids love to listen to it with me. We always enjoy it. Even when Duncan and Evan were little, they liked it. And now that they're all big and grown up, they still enjoy listening to it, as does my grandson Zachary and Jake. All the big guys enjoy it as well. Well, there's one that really got my attention, this Focus on the Family Odyssey series. And it's about a farmhand, and he was a Christian. And he just wanted to be useful and helpful. That's what he thought his life was all about. And he also taught the farmer's son how to be useful. And as the story goes, remember it's a fictional story, there was a little girl trapped at the bottom of a cliff. And the farmhand and the farmer's son rescued that little girl at great risk of their own lives. And when they got back up to the top of the cliff, they clapped him on the back. They said he was a hero, but he said, I just wanted to be useful. And that's the way I feel too. Maybe you feel that way. You just want to be useful and helpful. And when I think about that, I remember there was a woman in our church years ago at West Bridgewater Baptist Church, and she couldn't even get out of bed. But she prayed for us. She prayed specifically for each and every need that we might have. She prayed for each and every person in the church. And I think her prayers did more good than all our busy running around. She helped us. We felt her prayers and we felt her support every day and every week. Well, I just want to be useful. Paul makes several arguments in favor of Onesimus. Paul has great confidence in his convert. Can those who led us to the Lord or helped us along the way have the same confidence in us? Think for a moment of your wallet. Maybe right now, because of COVID, we're pulling out credit cards only. But maybe you've got a $5 bill in there, too. Can you tell me whose picture is on that? Lincoln, very good. And think for a moment. Everybody loved Lincoln. He was beloved of so many people. And you could say, why is that? Well, there's many reasons. But one was he spoke kindly about everyone. There were two gentlemen, Sir Edmund Hillary and a native guide, Tenzing, and they were attempting to climb Mount Everest. It had never been done before. It would be a great accomplishment if they could pull it off. They had all the right equipment. They had ropes. They had special access to dig into the ice. Everything they might need, they had with them. And they started off. And they climbed, and they struggled, and they climbed, and they climbed, and they succeeded. They made it to the top of Everest. It was a great accomplishment for mankind. It had never been done before. Unfortunately, way back down, Sir Hillary tripped. He stumbled. He started to fall. But Tenzing pulled the rope tight. He dug that axe into the ice, and he saved his life. At the bottom, Sir Hillary explained what had happened. And everyone saying, Tenzing, you're a great hero. You saved your buddy. He just shrugged it off. He says, mountain climbers always help each other. Well, that's the way it should be with Christians as well. We always help each other. Onesimus' name means helpful or useful. Now that he's a Christian, Paul expected him to live up to his name. Eric Caden, a great preacher, said, the key word in Philemon is forgiveness. Forgiveness is such a beautiful word. It shows the real outworking of Christianity. Philemon is Paul's shortest letter. It was one of his prison epistles. But unlike the other prison epistles, it was written instead of to a specific church, it was written to an individual. This is a letter from a friend writing to a friend about a very personal matter. The friend was Philemon, whom Paul called our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Some Bible scholars have even said that Philemon was a pastor at the church in Colossae. Paul writes about Onesimus, a runaway slave. The key word is forgiveness. But we all need not only forgiveness, we need to take the next step and turn from our sins and change our manner of living. In Philemon, Paul tells us the circumstances that determine the need for forgiveness, then the characteristics that describe the nature of forgiveness. They say there's nothing free in this world. There's always a hook. And sometimes when you watch TV or listen to the radio or get all those crazy calls on your phone, you think that's true. Everyone's trying to sell you something. But God's love is free and it's unconditional. There was a terrific pilot. He was famous because he had never had an accident or a problem. Everybody wanted to fly with this pilot. But one day it happened. His plane crashed. It was totally destroyed. But all three people on board walked away uninjured. That's always a good thing when you can walk away from a plane crash. Well, the pilot wasn't satisfied. He wanted to know what happened. What was wrong with this plane? He started to do some investigation. He found out that instead of the regular aviation fuel, the mechanic had put in jet fuel instead, and that caused the crash. He went over to confront the mechanic, who was over by the side crying, realizing he was about to be fired, or worse, maybe he was going to be sued. The pilot strode over to him. He pointed at him and said, "Listen, tomorrow I want you to fuel my plane because you'll never, ever make that mistake again." That's forgiveness. Our first point this morning is the need of forgiveness. The need of forgiveness. We all need to be forgiven. The need of forgiveness with the circumstances that determine this need. He departed for a season. Philemon 15. Onesimus stole from his boss. Why do we need forgiveness? The need is one simple word, sin. We've all sinned. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We've all sinned. And sin separates us from God. God allowed Onesimus to leave his owner for both their good, just as God allowed Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. God allows the sinful world to affect us for our own good, that we might grow. Joseph said to his brothers, "Now be there not grieved or angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Genesis 45:5. Joseph's life and Onesimus' life had been planned by a higher power. Onesimus' crime brought him to Paul and to salvation. Onesimus needed forgiveness right then, just as we need forgiveness right now. There was a wonderful evangelist and preacher by the name of D.L. Moody. And I read about him growing up as a little kid. I heard wonderful stories about him. I read some of the books and material that he had written. And it was a blessing to me. I said, "Wow, what a great guy." One of the ministries he started was Moody Bible Institute, which my daughter Faith and Pastor Bruce graduated from. And I've taken some correspondence courses there and found them most helpful. Well, one day, Moody was preaching, and as he preached, he started to wrap up the message. He said, "I want you to come back next time. Think about this text, this Bible text, and make a decision, hopefully for Christ. Then Mr. Sankey, his song leader, got up and led the closing hymn. And as that happened, outside they could hear fire trucks going by. It was the beginning of the Great Chicago Fire. Most of the city was destroyed and many people perished. The next day, and for some time, Moody was involved in disaster recovery. He was helping people to recover from this terrible tragedy. And as he did, he vowed never again to send people home without the opportunity to ask Jesus into their hearts. Now, maybe Onesimus had plenty of opportunities to hear the plan of salvation, probably from Philemon. Probably there were family prayers or devotions in the home. Verse 2 tells us that there was a church in that house. But because of slavery or adventure or whatever, Onesimus had hardened his heart to God. Many times God moves a son or daughter many miles away, even to a far country, where they are saved. We're told over and over that God works in mysterious ways. Onesimus enjoyed sin for a season, but suddenly he realized the emptiness of sinful pleasure. One day, like the prodigal son, he came to himself. That's one of my favorite expressions in the Bible. He came to himself. And at some point in our lives, we all need to come to ourselves and put God first in our lives. There was a man that was under deep conviction. He knew about God's great love for him. He knew he had made mistakes and done wrong things, but he didn't make a decision for Christ. He put it off, and he put it off, and he put it off, and he put it off again. Fortunately, he had a Christian boss. And one day his boss sent him a little note and said, "Please come and see me." James came to his boss's door. He knocked. He says, "Oh, James, are you here to see me?" He says, "Well, yes, sir. You're a great boss. You're a great person. I love working here. I came right away as soon as I got your note." He said, "Very good, James. Please have a seat. I appreciate how prompt you were in responding to my note. But there's another invitation, much more important, that you've been putting off, and that's to receive Jesus as your personal Savior." James's lip started to quiver. He started to cry. And he realized that the thing that he had put off, he needed to do right then and there. In his boss's office, at work, he asked Jesus to come into his heart. This employee came to himself, or came to an understanding. Our second point is the nature of forgiveness. The nature of forgiveness and the characteristics that describe it. That thou shouldest receive him forever. Philemon 15. The nature of forgiveness that exactly meets the need is peace of conscience. Onesimus had stolen and run away. He would never have a quiet conscience again until he finds peace with God. Sin always keeps us apart from God. But the good news is God forgives. He wipes the slate clean. He gives us a chance to start over. And he gives us freedom from fear. Quite rightly and legitimately, Philemon could punish his runaway slave when caught. In Paul's time, the sentence was death. That's pretty serious. Paul sums up the nature of forgiveness by saying, "Receive him." A literal translation from the Greek would say, "Have him wholly for thyself." It is the same word that Paul uses in Philippians 4:18. "I have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." This meant the gifts were for Paul only and for his personal use. Onesimus and Philemon are now brothers in Christ. God is fusing these two together as one loving unit, one in kindness and one in friendship. There was a small boy, and he was confronted by three great big bullies. and he knew he was in trouble. He couldn't handle them physically, but he had some management skills, so he put them to work. So he took a few steps back. He drew a line in the dirt with his toe. He said, "Now just step across that line." The biggest bully, the leader of the group, strode forward and stepped across the line. Then the little boy smiled and he said, now, we're on the same side. Well, that's good management, I'll tell you. A good manager remembers that the people that he or she manages are on the same side. A good manager will encourage, train, support, cheer on his or her employees. In response, the employees should do their very best for their manager and their organization. As Christians, we have to be on the same team with kindness and friendship. Our job on earth is to get people to God. Our job is to share forgiveness with a needy world. We are to demonstrate Jesus' love and compassion. Philemon was forgiven, and we've been forgiven. And our world can be forgiven, helped, and saved. The choice is ours. God forgives our past failures. He puts them out of his mind, and we can put them out of our minds as well. But, he says, starting right now, right this minute, what are you going to do to share the message of my love and forgiveness? How are you going to help this needy world? Let's get back on the team and serve the cause of our King. With love, kindness, and friendship, we are his hands and feet. We can share forgiveness and help with a truly needy world. Let the saints below in concert sing with those to glory gone, for all the servants of our King in earth and heaven are one. Shall we pray? Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word and all that it means to us. We thank you for your great love for each and every one of us. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that you'd forgive our sins, come into our hearts, and make us members of your family. Dear Lord Jesus, we believe in you. Dear Lord, we pray that you might use us, that we might be on your team and help share the message of God's great love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.